morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley. You know, we've had some good summer days and some not so good summer days, and I have to selfishly admit that sometimes on a day like today, it's easier to get up and come to church. So enjoy the day, and we're glad that you're here with us today. A couple announcements. First of all, if you don't have a bulletin, please get one. There's some on the back table. As you can see, we do not have PowerPoints today because we do not have Cliff. And, you know, things come to a halt when we don't have Cliff. So just so you know, Cliff is representing Glenshaw Valley and the Pittsburgh Presbytery at General Assembly this weekend in Tennessee. So please keep him in prayer, but that's where he is and why he's not with us. Also, want to welcome Debbie Soa. Debbie is here with us today, a familiar face, as Mickey takes a much-deserved just one day off. So welcome. We're glad to have you back with us. Also want to welcome Ed Foote this morning. Ed is, I think, first time in our pulpit, so we're happy to welcome him. His bio is here in the bulletin. You can read that. He is, as you read his bio, you will notice that he has done some, has some dance experience and square dance experience and Christian holistic dance experience, so you might be able to connect the dots that Ed comes to us as a reference from Carol Schreiber. They have done some square dancing together, so thank you, Carol, for that. And last but not least, we welcome Kristen with us this morning, and we ask that you continue to keep her in prayer as she continues to go through her somewhat challenging internship, not only challenging in the fact that she has to be there at 6:30 every morning, but challenging work as well. So please keep her in your prayers. And I think that's it for announcements, unless anybody has something that I missed. Okay. I don't know if everybody heard that. The deacons are still collecting cleaning supplies. The deacons are collecting cleaning supplies, and there's a box in the back on the table where you can place those. So again, thank you all for being here. Welcome, Debbie. Welcome, Ed. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. I want to thank Arlie for scheduling me and for Carol for providing all the information to her. Arlie mentioned that I was involved with dancing, and I was the caller for the club that danced here for like 20 years in the hall, and I was a regular caller for North Hills Square. So I've never been in the sanctuary, but I've been in your recreation hall hundreds and hundreds of times. It's interesting, I noticed in the bulletin there's an abbreviation for your church, GVPC, and at first I didn't realize what this stood for, and then I realized that GVPC stands for God's Very Perfect Congregation. Whenever I'm at a church for the first time, in my travels, and I do lecturing on spiritual subjects throughout the country, and in my travels I hand out free copies of inspirational literature. And I brought some along today. It's on the back table back there. All different articles. Everything's free. Take what you like. If there's someone that you see an article think they would like it, take an extra copy. If you want to make copies of anything, fine. You don't need my approval. They're just generic. So help yourself back there after the service. I guess that covers all our introduction items. Oh, I almost forgot to mention. I don't know whether you watched the morning news today, but did you see that truck that overturned on Parkway East was delivering food to Giant Eagle? It actually was delivering jelly to Giant Eagle, and there was jelly all over the Parkway East. And the police said it was a real traffic jam. It's not going to get any better. Well, for our opening invocation, let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dear God, Thank you for this new day, its beauty and its light. Thank you for our chance to begin again. Free us from the limitations of yesterday. Today may we be reborn. May we become more fully a reflection of your radiance. Give us strength and compassion and courage and wisdom. Show us the light in ourselves and others. May we recognize the good that is available everywhere. May we be this day an instrument of love and healing. Lead us into gentle pastures. Give us deep peace that we might serve you most deeply. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 1. Unison prayer of confession, followed by 1 minute of silent confession. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments and follow other gods. Have mercy on us. Forgive our sins and raise us to new life, that we might serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Father,
Father, how still today. How quietly do all things fall in place. In you is every choice already made. In you has every conflict been resolved. In you is everything we hope to find already given to us. Your peace is ours. Our hearts are quiet and our minds at rest. Your love is heaven and your love is ours. Amen. Standing together, let us say what we believe by reciting the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 35. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us now greet one another in God's name. This is the first time I ever saw the wave being done in church. So impressive. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. and Debbie play beautifully. You're fortunate to have someone like her available for you. We'll now have our morning prayer. So let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dearest God, our souls quiver with joy before the light of the new day, which illuminates our path. We thank you for giving us the gift of another day and for calling us to pursue our work with a glad heart. We thank you for giving us the chance to accomplish your will, to manifest it with love and wisdom with all people in our lives. We ask you to give us the joy of feeling the presence of the Divine Spirit, of listening to your instructions like a devoted child, and of keeping the path of your laws. We stand beneath the endless waterfall of your abundant gifts to us. We thank you especially for the blessings of life, which is the most precious of all your gifts to us. We thank you for clothing to wear, for food and drink to nourish us, and for all the talents and skills you have bestowed upon us. Grant that we will always greet a new day with the awareness of some gift for which to give you thanks. And may constant thanksgiving be our song of perpetual praise to you. We thank you for the many joys in our lives, for family and friends, for work that gives us a sense of purpose and invests our lives with meaning. We thank you as well for the trials of our lives, which are also gifts, and which together with our mistakes become some of our most important teachers. Grant us the strength and vigilance and love necessary for our elevation and for the coming of your kingdom on earth. May the light of the eternal sun of your love illuminate our souls and those of all people on the earth. May your love, your wisdom, your truth, your justice, and your virtue reign in the hearts of all. And may we become one with Christ and with you. We pray today, O God, for this congregation, that everyone may feel your presence at all times. For those who are ill, for those who mourn, for family and friends in need of healing, we surround them with light and love. May your presence rest upon them, and may they be surrounded with the healing and comforting power of your angels, that they may have peace and calm. We pray, O God, for your blessing and guidance for the leaders of our country, that peace may prevail in their minds on all decisions. And we pray for all those who have no one to pray for them, that your peace and your comfort may surround them. And now we join in praying the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 839. Thank you. us now present our tithes and gifts to God. Receive the thanks of God today as you give thanks to Him. He will bless your gifts and they will grow in power and in strength until they fill the world with gladness and with gratitude. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is from Luke 15, 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. But this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have given me even have not never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who was devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found. This is a reading of God's word.
You know, I was very impressed with the ringing of the bell at the start. This is the only place I've ever seen that, and it's really nice. I really was impressed. But having not seen that anywhere, when she came down before the service started and was sitting there with the bell, I couldn't tell it was a bell. I thought she was sitting there with a club so that the speaker doesn't do a good job. So then when she came down again, I was wondering if that worked okay. Well, today I thought we would look at the topic of forgiveness, which is prevalent throughout the Bible. The dictionary definition of forgiveness says to release, to let go of, to cease to feel resentment against. But we want to look at forgiveness from the Christ perspective. So to do that, first we need to know what forgiveness is not, and then we can know what forgiveness is. Now, forgiveness is not forgiveness to destroy. And that's a phrase, forgiveness to destroy. Forgiveness to destroy overlooks no sin, no crime, no guilt. It picks out all the bad things a person can find about someone and overlooks anything loving about a person like the plague. When we hold a grievance against someone, we don't want to hear anything good about that person. We only want to hear and the negative about that, about them, and look for the negative in them. If by any chance we do want to forgive them, we first make sure that the whole world knows how aggrieved we are at what they did to us. In other words, we're the judge and jury, and emphasizing this other person's guilt to the world. Now, there are four types of forgiveness to destroy, and you may recognize some of them. Not that anybody here does that, of course. That's all them other people out there. You know. But there are four types of forgiveness to destroy. You may have seen these at some point. Number one, holier than thou. I am so noble that I forgive little you. Forgiveness to destroy. The second type of forgiveness to destroy is the flip side of that. It says, I'm sinful, you're sinful, we're all sinful, so I'm just as deserving of condemnation as you are. Now, while on the surface that may appear humble, it's actually saying that we think we can destroy the perfection that was created by God. Third type of forgiveness to destroy is martyrdom. I will sacrifice myself in order to forgive you. This merely demonstrates for all the world to see the guilt of the other person. It's not really love, it's subtle cruelty. And finally, the fourth type of forgiveness to destroy is conditional forgiveness. Conditional forgiveness says that forgiveness must be earned and bought. And we set ourselves up as the dictator of what these terms will be. This merely reinforces the belief in guilt and separation. So, those are the four types of forgiveness to destroy, and we don't want to practice that. What we want to know is the Christ definition of forgiveness. The Christ definition of forgiveness. It's the means by which we are healed. It's the means by which we are healed, by which we are restored to the remembrance that we were created by love and the remembrance of God's love. Gerald Jampolsky, in his well-known book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, which was written almost 50 years ago, and it's still available in bookstores, and you see it in Barnes & Noble. He says there are only two types of emotions. He lists all the emotions you can think of, and they all boil down to one of two things, either love or fear. And you can't have both at the same time. If a little child, let's say we have a grandchild or a nephew, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and they decide they're visiting us for the weekend. And they have their own room and their own little bed. And in the middle of the night, the little child comes over to us in our room and crying and all upset because the child has had a bad dream and is just all upset. What would we do with this little child? Would we go, whap, 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 no, you dummy, that's just a dream, go back to bed, there's no problem? No, we wouldn't do that. We would comfort the child. We would escort the child back to bed, tell them there are no boogeymen under the bed, and be kind and gentle to the child. And we all agree that's what we would do. But it's a different situation when an adult person is in our face expressing anger to us or shouting at us. But it's the exact same thing as a little child. The little child is expressing fear. When an adult is angry and shouting at us, they're expressing fear also. Now, fear was not created by God. Fear was created by humankind. So therefore, if someone is believing in fear or practicing fear, they must be insane because they're believing in something that God didn't create. In fact, Jesus says as much in the Bible. If you're practicing fear, you're kind of insane because God didn't create fear. So when this adult is in our face, do we say, oh, well, you're just a little insane? That probably wouldn't help the situation. But it's the exact same thing as a little child. The next time someone is angry with you, can you picture that person in front of you as the little child asking for love and forgiveness? That's the Christ method of forgiveness. All fear is one of three things. Control, am I in control of the situation? Acceptance, am I received by others, accepted by others? Or number three, a combination of the two. Always remember that fear is a cry for help, just like the little child. And it also means that anytime we are believing in fear, we are temporarily insane because we are not practicing or not believing in what God created. So, as it says in the Bible, in the story of the prodigal son, which is the ultimate story of forgiveness in the Bible, when the son came back from afar off, having squandered his inheritance, the father didn't go, whap, 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 you're awful, get out of here. No. He threw a big party for his son. There are several lessons from the story of the prodigal son. We all get the idea of the first son and the fact that his father forgave him. What often is overlooked in this story of the prodigal son is the second son. The second son goes to his father and says, what's going on here? I followed your wishes my whole life. I've done everything you said. You never threw me a party. And God said, and the father, or symbol for God, said to him, that son, I've always loved you, but your brother who was lost is now found. And it's appropriate that we celebrate with him. Our healing process here in Earth School is twofold. We are like both, throughout our lives, we experience situations where we're like the first prodigal son, we're like the prodigal son, and second, like his brother. Like the prodigal son, we need to recognize that we cannot find happiness in the ways and places we have been seeking it. We can only find it by coming home. And then, like the self-righteous son, we must learn that if we deny our brother's or sister's place as God's child, then we also deny our own place. Only by our willingness to recognize and celebrate who God is can we know our own identity. There's a nice little quote that I found a long time ago that summarizes this whole thing very nicely. When you meet anyone, remember that it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him or her their place in the kingdom, and you will receive yours. Just a wonderful quote. So as long as we are identified with the ego, we'll have a powerful investment in seeing someone else as guilty. Because we believe that by focusing attention on someone else's guilt, buys us a reprieve from things that we have done. What we need to do is practice forgiveness for salvation. Forgiveness for salvation means we don't try to overlook that which has happened, but we have to not make the error real. We don't make the sin real. So the little child expressing fear, we recognize the fear, but we don't make it real because the fear wasn't created by God. If something is real, it has real, it's a cause that has real effects. When we get angry or upset, we are claiming that a person's actions are the cause. The other person's actions are the cause of our being upset. And we say that other person destroyed our inner peace. To not make the error real means to demonstrate that it has no effect on us. Can we do this with the angry person in our face? Very easy for me to stand up here and say, yeah, this is what you do. But difficult to put into practice. But again, that's why we are here in Earth School. Our function here is to learn how to forgive. Let's take an example of the sun shining. The sun is always shining. Now, oftentimes there'll be clouds go by and cover up the sun. Does that mean the sun isn't still there? No, sun's still there. The clouds have just temporarily obscured the sun. We need to remove the clouds that block our awareness of love's presence. Remove the clouds that block the awareness to love's presence, to God's presence. For true forgiveness, we must see with the vision of Christ. We must see as Christ saw. Christ saw all the problems and all the bad things that people were doing. He saw them, but he didn't condemn them. He forgave all the time. We are to see with the vision of Christ. Remember back in the 90s, the WWJD buttons, what would Jesus do? Same thing. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus see this situation? We learn to forgive when we ask to see with Christ's vision instead of our own. We learn to forgive when we ask to see with Christ's vision instead of our own. That's a good little opening prayer to say the first thing, as soon as you wake up in the morning. Lord, help me to see with Christ's vision today. Help me to see with Christ's vision today. What happens when you see with Christ's vision? You achieve inner peace. You lighten your heart. Isn't that what we all want? Here's another little phrase that I heard a while ago that I thought was interesting. Forgiveness is giving yourself the thing that you've always wanted so that you don't have to blame anyone anymore for not having it. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is giving yourself what you've always wanted so that you don't have to blame anyone anymore for not having it. The poem, the well-known poet Edwin Markham wrote, "He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle to take him in." So finally, we've talked in generalities here. Let's look at some specific things you can do every day to practice forgiveness. First, spend a few minutes every day cleaning out your thinking. Forgive anyone against whom you have ill will. And an ideal way to do this is the 40-day prayer. 40-day prayer is very effective, very brief. What it says is, you name the person, "Mary, I'm praying to you. Thank you for all that you have done for me. Forgive me for all that I have done to you." That's the whole prayer. But you got to do it 40 days in a row. And if you happen to skip a day, you got to start over. Now, if you do this prayer to someone for 40 days, that's going to change your thinking. And the 40-day prayer has been very effective for a long time in helping people practice forgiveness. Second thing we can do to practice forgiveness is practice on small hurts, so that then if some big hurt comes along later on, you've already had some practice. Number three, challenge the shoulds in your life. S-H-O-U-L-D-S, the shoulds. I should do this, or they should do this. Number four, try instant forgiveness on the spot. Somebody does something, you just say a prayer, "I forgive them instantly." Of course, recognize that anger and ill will do manifest themselves in health problems, so do yourself a health favor and practice forgiveness. Remember that forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. Forgiveness is for you. A man was in prison, and he was finally released, and his friend said to him, "Do you hold ill will against your jailer?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." And his friend said, "Then you are still in prison with him." Finally, I'll mention what happens when we pass on. Near-death experiences, we've heard all of these, or thousands of these, and they're all pretty similar. Started with this book by James Moody back in the 70s. What happens when we pass on? Well, we've all heard we go through a tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And we come up beside this light, and it's kind of like a light being there. And standing beside this light being, we review our lives as a scroll, like we're watching a movie. We watch our whole life. And as we're watching our life, and here's a place where we did something really good, and the light being expands and pulsates. And then we move along a little further, and here's a place where maybe we didn't make the best decision, and the light being contracts slightly. But the light being never goes away. We judge ourselves by seeing our life in review. So I ask you the question. Anytime you are ready to take an action, ask yourself, when I pass on, and I'm standing beside the light beam reviewing my life, and I see what I am about to do, will the light beam expand or contract? What we are to do is to see things differently. We are to see things as Christ saw them. If we do this, that will enable us to practice forgiveness the way Jesus practiced it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see with the vision of Christ. Help us to see and practice forgiveness as Christ did. Amen. Our final hymn is a prayer to God. Please sing it in that fashion. Benediction, two items. First of all, remind you again of the free handouts on the table back there. Help yourself and for any friends you may have. And also your homework assignment for the week, should you choose to accept it. Every day this week, as soon as you wake up, make this prayer. Lord, help me to see with the vision of Christ today. Help me to see with the vision of Christ today. And now receive God's benediction. Peace be to you. There is no instant you stand alone. No time when God will fail to take your hand. No moment when His love does not surround you, comfort you, and care. Peace be to you. Amen. for what is his is yours. The light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is. Amen.